That was a quick hi. You guys have been gone for 3 weeks, and it's just, what's up? And sit back down, huh? You guys have been here for a week. That's all right. All right, so like I mentioned earlier, we're going to be talking about worry and, I guess, anxiety this morning. And I have three kids, and my oldest son, he's 8, and he's in the third grade. And typically, most days that he has to go to school, the words that come out of his mouth are, worst day ever. Like, he just hates school at third grade, just completely hates it. And from what my wife and I can gather, what we think is that the routine of, and this has come out of his mouth too, the routine of every day just, I think it brings him worry, it brings him anxiety, and it really bothers him. He just thinks, I wake up, I get ready for school, I go to school for 6 hours, I come home, I do homework, I eat dinner, and then I go to bed, and then I do it all over again. Like, he's said that to us. And from what we can gather, it just really bothers him and brings him worry and brings him anxiety. Like, he really loves for his schedule to be switched around. And my wife and I are really trying to figure out how to help him in that, because honestly, sometimes that's just the way life goes. It's every day you do the same thing and you get up and you do it again. And so we've been trying to find ways to really just help him in that, because he is so young and he doesn't know how to deal with it yet. But this week, earlier this week, he got a change in his schedule in a very strange way, and he was super excited about it. So he was in music class, and from the way that he described the story, it seemed like they were on risers, because they were practicing probably some song that I'm going to have to listen to in some concert at a future date. And so they were on risers. Landon is on the bottom riser, or on the floor, and then there's a row behind him and a row up at the top. And so a girl above him, two rows that's on the top row, is sick. And all of a sudden, she throws up over the middle row, right on Landon's back and pants, soaked with puke all over him. And when I asked Landon about it later, he said, "Dad, my first thought was, yes, I get to go home for a little bit and take a shower, eat lunch, and then come back to school. I actually thanked the girl, Dad." He said, "It was a win-win situation. I got to go home, she got to go home." So just a small little change, a disgusting change in his schedule, brought him relief from his, what we think is, worry. And so here's why I want to talk about worry this morning, because that's a funny example, but I think a lot of times worry can consume us. And in a way, I think it consumes my son a little bit, and we're trying to work our way through that. But in everyday life, we experience different worry and different anxieties that sometimes we just don't feel capable of dealing with. You know, you guys are back just for a week in classes, and I'm sure already the worries are starting to rise. You're looking at the semester, you're looking at your class load, maybe you're looking at your work schedule and all these things, and it almost seems like this mountain is building up, and you just view this huge mountain in front of you, and you're thinking, how am I going to be able to conquer this semester? You know, and even for me, last semester, up to this point in my life, I don't think I've ever really dealt with any significant worry or anxiety. But last semester, I felt like I was dealing with anxiety on a whole level that I have, again, never experienced before. Maybe some of you have been dealing with it for your whole life, or just since you were in high school, or since you came to college. But last semester was a really rough time for me. I felt like I was trying to hold a lot of things up. I don't think anybody was putting any pressure on me, but this anxiety and this worry started building up inside of me. We had family health issues. We had a lot of things going on in our house where we just wanted to really help our kids and nurture our kids through some, you know, especially with my son, with not liking school, just really trying to help him through that stuff. And then with the church, I really started putting a ton of pressure on myself, on the church, and it really started causing some worry and anxiety. And it got to a level of where I just thought, man, I can't hold all this stuff up. This is going to come crashing down. Not just the church, but just a lot of stuff in my life. And I started feeling anxiety. And I really didn't know how to handle it. Or I was not handling it in a very good way. I really just functioned last semester out of kind of what I knew how to do. I wasn't really walking a lot in faith. It was just kind of going through the motions. And it's probably one of the most scariest times of my life, just because, like I said, I haven't really dealt with any worry or anxiety like that up until then. And so I want to talk through worry and anxiety and what the Bible has to tell us, because these have been really profound and simple words for me to just walk through and to deal with and to pray through and to talk with God about. So I want to talk through worry and anxiety this morning. And we're going to look at it from three different areas. In your handout, if you have your handout with you, you can see that. We're going to look at the problem. We're going to look at the results and impact of that worry. And then we're going to look at the solution. Because I believe that Scripture is really going to give us some really good insight. So first, let's look at the problem. And we're going to sit here in Matthew chapter 6. It says this in verse 24. It says, "No one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." You know, in the example that Jesus gives here, he talks about money. And whenever Jesus talks about worry, or most of the time when Jesus talks about worry in the Bible, it almost always is attached to money. I think he's very smart in thinking that, because, you know, things aren't much different now than it was 2,000 years ago when Jesus was walking the earth. People were always dealing with money issues. You know, maybe for some of us, money is exactly what we worry about. We think about, how am I going to pay rent? How am I going to pay for the next few years of college? Just thinking, maybe you're a sophomore and you're thinking, I don't even know where the money's going to come to pay for my junior in senior year. Some of you are worried about how you're going to pay for books. We're 1 week into classes, and maybe some of you have not bought those books yet because the money just isn't there. Maybe others, our worry comes from classes. You know, are we going to pass? Will we measure up and excel? Will we get behind and never catch up? Maybe it's a relationship. Do they still like me? How do I keep them liking me? What did he or she mean when they said this? Will I ever get a girlfriend or a boyfriend? Maybe it's a past event in your life that you have a hard time letting go. Could be something that maybe you did to somebody else that you feel a lot of shame and worry from, or maybe it was something that you had done to you that just sticks with you. It haunts you. It consumes you. But here's what I think the point of what Jesus is telling us here, and it's all in the one word, devoted. Devoted. And here's your fill-in in your handout. What we find ourselves devoted to the most, what we find ourselves devoted to the most, or what we find ourselves consumed by, is what we find ourselves worrying about the most. I don't know if you guys have found this to be true in your life, but think of it this way. And maybe I shouldn't be confessing this to you, but you guys are all college students. I am not. You guys are devoted to your classes. You're devoted to your studies. And so when I have some of you talk about how hard and difficult your classes are and that you're struggling, I sympathize with you. I feel bad for you, but I don't go home and worry about it because I'm not devoted like you are. I have a different perspective. You know, maybe you've seen that with your friends where they share something difficult with you, and you can sympathize with them, you can feel bad for them, you can pray for them, you can love them through that, but you're probably not going to go home most of the time. You're not going to go home and worry about your friend. Because you're not devoted, you're not consumed, you're not a participant in it like they are. So what we find ourselves devoted to the most is what we find ourselves worrying about the most. And Jesus goes on to say in verse 25, he says, "That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life. Whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear, isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing?" Now the culture, again, that people, or that Jesus is talking to, it was a very day-to-day culture. So again, maybe the examples that Jesus is giving here aren't what we struggle with. Like none of us, most of us, probably do not worry about where our next meal is coming from. There are plenty of dining halls on this campus that you can go to. There are plenty of restaurants. Most of you have the resources to go get your meals. But the culture back then was very day-to-day. Most people worked, and that day's wages went to whatever they needed for that day, or potentially maybe even a little bit of the next day. There was the wealthy, but that was not the majority of the population. And so our worries look a little bit different. Again, maybe it's classes. This semester, the stress and uncertainty has begun already after just a week. Relationships, will I ever get a girlfriend or a boyfriend? Will I be able to keep my current boyfriend or girlfriend? Family issues that you guys are dealing with, will they ever get resolved? Is there any hope? Some of you feel like there's no hope in the family issues that you're dealing with. Work, am I going to get enough hours to pay my bills? And we worry, and we run around in circles in our minds and think, how is this going to be possible? Maybe there's body issues. We think, have I eaten the right things today? Have I eaten healthy? Have I worked out enough today or this week? And it goes again and again in a circle in our minds and our hearts. And it starts disrupting our lives. You know, those are all examples of what goes on through our minds, things that may be a point of concern, worry, and anxiety. And those things that I just mentioned, they're actually all important things. And most of them, I would say, that we should still work really hard on. Like, what I'm not saying is that we should just sit around and twiddle our thumbs and hope the best works out. Right? We should still work hard in achieving some of those goals and getting the work done that we need to do. But if we look at part of what Jesus says, again, this is one reason I believe that if we just really trusted Jesus, when we love Jesus and listen to him, this one sentence, he just puts things in perspective. And maybe when we read the Bible, we just gloss over it. But this is a beautiful thing. He says, isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? And I just want to focus in on that life more than food part. Life more than food. So if Jesus was here with us this morning, and he was having a personal conversation with you about your particular area of worry, or the things that you worry about consistently, he would say, I understand classes are important to you. I understand work is important to you. I understand that eating healthy and exercising and making sure your body is in tip-top shape, I understand that is important to you. But let me ask you, isn't your life more important than those things? Like if we compare the two, if we put them up against each other, and we would say life is important and classes is important. Like, there's a distinct difference that Jesus is trying to point out here. Life with him, living life to the fullest like he promised, is more important than A, B, or C. Whatever we can put in there, whatever we can fill in the blank. And I think that's how it was for me for most of last semester. Up until around Christmas time, I felt like I was drowning in anxiety. And I remember one time on a Sunday morning where all I could think is, I just want to go home, but I got to get up and preach. I was so anxious And again, I didn't even know what I was anxious necessarily about. I remember just thinking, I'm drowning here. But it wasn't until later in the semester when Jesus was really pointing me to, Matt, what's more important? Life with me? Living life with peace and joy and with me? Or is it this church? Is this church more important than me? I love this church. I will serve this church as much as I can. And I will love you guys as much as I can. But God was really teaching me, what's more important? If you were to compare the two, what is more important? And so what Jesus is trying to do here is he's trying to redirect our devotion. Our devotion to life with him or devotion to worry and anxiety. You know, the section goes on more and more here in Matthew chapter 6. And Jesus talks about how that the birds that fly around and that the flowers that grow in the field, that we're more valuable than them, yet God still takes care of them. So why should we continue to worry? And he goes on and tells us these things, but then he sums it up. He sums this whole section up really well in verse 27. He says, can all your worries add a single moment to your life? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And I think that's where we struggle with worry, in the problem with worry. We think the more that we worry about, the more that we'll be able to solve the problem, or we'll be able to figure out what is wrong. And Jesus is just telling us here, the worry, it's not going to add anything to your life. And so we have to recognize that there is a problem. And then second, we have to see the result and the impact of our worry. And there's a really great story, again, in the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 13. And in Matthew chapter 13, Jesus tells a parable, which is really just an analogy. And he spoke often in parables. And oftentimes, the people that followed him, his disciples, were very confused on what these parables meant. And he told this parable about these different seeds and these different soils. And Jesus talks about these different seeds, which represented God's words, like God's truth to all of us. All the words that are in Scripture, we would believe that they're true and they're helpful and they're encouraging and they're challenging to us. And that's what these seeds represented in the story. And some of these seeds fell on a footpath where there wasn't good soil. It wasn't fertile soil. It was very flat. The sun could reach it very easily. And it was very accessible to the birds. And so in the story, he talks about the birds would come and pick up these seeds, and they would fly away. And we talk about that's how we are sometimes. When we try to plant seeds in terrible soil, the birds will come up and take them away, and it'll never take root in our lives. And then he talks about seeds that are planted in rocks. Initially, the plant grows up, but soon it withers away because it doesn't have deep roots. It doesn't have the right soil to be able to obtain good faith and understanding the message that God is trying to tell us. And then Jesus talks to us about a good soil, a good fertile soil, something, the kind of soil that will produce over and over and over again, and we can hear God's message clearly. And then Jesus talks about planting our seed in thorns. And that is where we're going to pick up the story in verse 22. He simply says this, the seed that fell among the thorns represents those who hear God's word, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the worries of this life and the lure of wealth, so no fruit is produced. I love the word choice here that Jesus uses in this section. He says the message is crowded out by the worries of life. That when we plant our seeds in thorns, that it is crowded out. So it doesn't even give the ability for us to grow because it's so crowded, so dense, that we can't even get through it. And the best way that I can describe this to you when I'm thinking of examples in my life is if you've ever jumped into a really deep ball pit or foam pit before, if some of you took gymnastics. There was a few years ago where we had a pastor's retreat down in Columbus, and pastors, we don't know how to have fun, and we think we're always really young, and so we picked a spot where the whole place is trampolines, if you guys have ever been to one of those places. And we went there, and we played dodgeball on trampolines, and we tried to do flips, and we hurt ourselves. But then there was one section of this place that there was a foam pit, and we started to make a competition out of it that we had to jump off a trampoline, do a flip, land in the foam pit, and then see who could get back to the ledge and the trampoline the quickest. Well, it was my time to go. I did my flip. My feet are in the foam pit, and I try to start making my way back to the ledge. And I'm not moving anywhere. And actually, I feel like I'm starting to, like, sink in this foam pit. And I start panicking. Like, I get really panicky, and I think, I am going to die in a foam pit. Like, I was seriously getting worked up, thinking, I am not moving. And the harder, it was like quicksand. The harder you work, the worse it's going to be. And I eventually made it. But I remember thinking of how exhausted I was trying to get out of that pit. I was thinking, I'm not moving. I'm not moving. I'm not moving. I am not gaining any ground closer to this ledge. And that's what this verse is talking about. At times, we are so crowded. There are so many obstacles in our way, in the thorns, that we can't reach what we know is true. And that's God's message. And it says, no fruit is being produced. We don't see ourselves moving forward because there's too many obstacles. There's too many foam sponges in our way. And that's how it felt for me last semester. And even now, as I'm still working through some of those things, moving one piece of the crowdedness out of the way and moving it to the next one seems exhausting at times. Figuring out more of the truth of what God is telling me, and as I'm getting nearer to that ledge. And so here's my encouragement to you guys in that, is that keep throwing those worries, keep throwing those things that are crowding you out, those worries that are crowding you out from God's message. Keep pushing all of those worries to the side and keep pushing and keep pushing. Progress is probably going to seem slow at times because there's so many layers of worry. For some of you, that's just been what you've sat in for a long time. Worry and anxiety has just been your rhythm of life. And it's not going to just go away just like that. I think it could, but I think oftentimes it's going to take work. It's going to take progress in trusting what God can do in your life. And so we can see the result of that. It really debilitates us. For some of us, it can freeze us. Like, we don't want to move because we think if we make another move, it'll cause more worry and more anxiousness. So it really impacts our lives. So what's the solution? What's the solution? Let's look at Philippians chapter 4. This is probably the textbook verse that people should go to when they're dealing with anxiety and worry. It says in verse 6, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. I think these words are so great because they are so simple. And it really is that easy. It really is that easy. Don't worry, pray, tell God what you need, thank him for all he has done, and you will experience his peace. And while at the same time that I say it's easy, I think it's incredibly difficult. Because like I just previously mentioned, for some of us, our rhythm of life has been worry, worry, worry. When things get worse, worry. When things start going bad, worry. And we have built up layers of worry. And it's going to take a long time to work through those. But what this is simply telling us is what Jesus was saying to us back in Matthew 6 we need to redirect our devotion. So instead of worrying and worrying on top of worrying and then thinking about five other things that we need to worry about, making up this huge mountain for ourselves, what we need to do is redirect our devotion and start praying and recognize I need to build a different habit in my life. And so the instruction, the steps that Jesus takes us through are incredibly easy. The execution of that is extremely difficult. It's going to take work. It's going to take devotion. It's going to take time, discipline, consistency, and believing that God can do something and that He wants to hear from us and talk with us. Because I don't know if you caught that in that verse, but this verse in Philippians says, tell God what you need. Tell God what you need. This implies something. When it says tell God what you need, it implies that God wants to hear what you need, like specifically what you need. And I've heard it said before is that all we need is need. All we need is need. And I think plenty of us here have needs. We have things that we could be talking to God about. And so that is the encouragement for the solution, is that we stop worrying and we pray. And that becomes the new discipline. And I know that prayer sometimes can feel tiresome to some of you. I think sometimes none of us have ever been taught how to pray. Not that there is a right way to pray, but many of us think that praying means sitting quietly somewhere in a room where we will eventually fall asleep or think of other things. Like, that's how prayer goes for many of us. But prayer can be so life-giving. It can be about your personality. Some of you like to write your prayers. You'll stay awake. Some of you like to walk around. Some of you like to kneel. Some of you like to, I know I've done this, I get in front of a whiteboard and I just write out on a whiteboard what I'm thinking and it looks like a diagram and I just ask God, how do I make sense of all of this? Some of you need to talk out loud. We don't need to pray in our minds and at the same time think of the 10 things that we have on a to-do list to do, because those are the things that happen when we pray. Let prayer be about who you are and your personality. So when we pray, we can get to the peace that God talks about in Philippians, that we can experience that exceeds anything we can understand. And then second, with our worry, I would tell someone else about what brings you anxiety, what brings you worry. Most likely, they're going to have things that they can share with you too, or maybe they'll have even the same thing. And then you can pray together. You can pray with someone else. You can relieve that burden that maybe you've never shared with anybody. And that's what I want to do this morning. So as you walked in, you noticed there was a yellow card on each of your seats. And what I want you guys to do, there's pens underneath each chair here in the room. What I want you guys to do is we're going to take like 3 to 4 minutes. And I want you guys to write down on that card what really brings you worry. What are things that have been consuming? What are things that you've been devoting yourself to that you know that you have to give to God? Or that you would like to give to God, you just don't know where to start. Because one of the major goals for us here at H2O this semester is that we just want to pray more. Every week at 4:30 in the Carlson Library on Thursdays, we're going to be meeting for prayer. Every week at staff meeting on Tuesdays, our H2O staff, we get together and we pray. And so I'd love for you guys to write down those things, and our greeters are going to come by here in about 3 or 4 minutes. We're going to put some music on for you guys to get a chance to write and think. And we're going to pass baskets. You can fold them, fold the card up if you want to so nobody sees it. We're going to put them in the baskets. And I would just love to pray for you more and have these in our hand Tuesdays at staff meeting, Thursdays. And we're just going to pray for our church. So I'm going to give you some time to think and write, and then I'll come back up and pray. You know, something that's really helpful in battling worry and anxiety, and something that I've really tried to adopt is that Philippians 4 verses that I just try to have that either written down somewhere, or oftentimes I'll put an alarm on my phone that'll go off every day at the same time. It'll jump out at me, and I'll be forced to look at it every day because it's an alarm that goes off on my phone. And I would recommend that if you guys deal with worry, if you deal with anxiety and it builds up, I would recommend you using some tools like that, just showing that it can fill your heart and your mind, and it'll be a reminder to stop, to pray, to really ask God for the needs that you have. So let me pray for you guys, and then the band is going to come up and we will sing. God, thank you. God, that you give us insight. God, that you give us wisdom. And God, that you break it down in simple ways. God, that clearly you just ask us to stop worrying and to talk with you about it. God, everybody in this room can handle that. God, I pray that if somebody feels like they're doing that alone or walking in that alone, God, that they would have a great friend that would come alongside them and deal with that worry and that anxiety. God, I pray that as we lift up those prayers to you for the things that were written down this morning, God, that we would see relief in people's lives. We would see them trust you more. We would see them breaking the habit of just worrying and breaking down. God, I pray the same thing for myself. I pray that you speak to our hearts and our minds the truth. God, that we don't get crowded out by the worries of life, but we hear your message, we retain your message, we believe your message, and God, we learn to love you and trust you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.